You're listening to Never Off Duty. This week, we are joined by Jessica Barreto, the senior PIO for Clay County. And if you are a regular listener, you're going to be very proud that I nailed that. But Deputy Ford is here, and they put the badge with the name in front of me. He's wearing a PIO shirt.
Just so he wouldn't get it wrong.
We set you up for success.
He goes, all you have to remember is the word senior, and you can't mess this up. And he was right. But that's you. But you know what? In y'all's job, that is kind of what you do, is to get people ready for, I mean, a lot of, in your case, deputies or elected officials that maybe, or county officials that have never been in front of camera or talked to the media. Here's how you don't mess this up. So
absolutely.
Good job. You just did your job. And that's the episode. That's what they do. You've listened to Never Off Duty. Thank you for subscribing. We'll talk to you next week. No, Jessica, I'll let you introduce yourself. Yes, Deputy Ford is here, and we're going to go all over PIO, which to me is Public Information Officer, for those of you that are not used to acronyms.
Right.
We're going to go over the whole job. To me, I was talking briefly before we started recording, it's a very important job that is unfortunately not recognized. And anytime you're dealing with government, it's doubly important, but it's important for private industry too. So
absolutely.
I recognize the importance, and I hope after this episode that our listeners do and can tell their friends too about the job. It's also a fascinating job. So I love it because I like communications. But all right, Jessica, introduce yourself.
So thanks for having me today. That's right. So I'm a PIO for Clay County, and my background is actually in news. I was a news reporter for 10 years, and I've been with the county since March. So I've kind of transitioned into the other side of this job. And it's, you're right. I mean, it's very exciting. Love communications. I think it really sort of utilizes all the skills that I had as a reporter. And, you know, like you mentioned as well, I don't think a lot of people know what PIOs do unless you're in news like I was, where I was calling PIOs all the time, which, by the way, for my friends and family, I say spokesperson. That seems like an easier word to process. And as a reporter, I was used to kind of making things very simple for people to understand. So that's how they understand my role now. And, you know, it's something that a lot of people don't see because it's a lot of behind the scenes work. Like you said, we prepare officials for interviews. We write press releases. We handle social media. And sometimes we're the ones in front of the camera as well, delivering information and making sure that, you know, in a crisis, what we are saying, what we're putting out there is accurate and is dependable. So it's a lot of responsibility, just like being a news reporter was. But yeah, I'm very excited to be here.
Well, and depending on your boss, because it does depend on your boss.
Yes.
Yes. You are sometimes the first to be thrown under the bus if something goes wrong. But depending on your boss, they'll take the blame too. But sometimes the boss takes the blame and they were just given bad information and it's a sad event. But, right. You know, it does happen in this world we live in.
Well, there's a saying in the PIO world and, you know, get the right information to the right people at the right time so they can make the informed decision. So you always want to make sure that the information, even the information you're presenting to the person you report to, your boss or whoever that may be, or if you're even giving out to the community, that is accurate information. And in today's world with 24-hour news cycle, people want information, news instantaneously.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things is how do you combat that, especially as a PIO? Mm-hmm. There's a lot, you know, behind the scenes that are going on that when you're confronted with some information that you're not sure where it came from or if it's accurate, trying to track down to see the accuracy, find out the accuracy of the information and how true it is.
Now, that's a great, it's led me to a great question, I think. Otherwise, you know, I know the people that listen, they might go, no, that was a horrible question. So, because of this world we live in where the constant flow of information that people want and they're addicted to Twitter and Facebook, how many posts do you think for your offices you do a day?
I
know I'm putting you on the spot.
Right. So sometimes it depends, right? you know, it depends on your audience, the information you have. You know, generally, you know, there was a time before we try and do 3 posts a day. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot of content.
People don't realize that that's right. a lot, but it is.
It is a lot, but it also, it's incumbent upon, in a law enforcement agency, it also is incumbent upon your folks out there, especially your law enforcement officers out there in the field. You know, if they got cameras or cell phones, mm-hmm. or they're able to catch a great moment on mm-hmm. photo. Send those what they send to us so that we can actually tell the community or show the community what our guys are out there doing. Because at the end of the day, when a deputy responds to a particular incident, everybody doesn't get to see that incident. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But if somebody captures that, that's a story we can tell to the community about mm-hmm. What these guys and gals are out there doing each and every day.
All right. Well, a great example is when Sheriff Cook talked down a gentleman with a machete, and somebody else caught it, if I'm not mistaken. It was just a citizen caught it. And that was one of those things, because she's not prone to bragging. And I thought it was pretty cool because it was a nice example of good police work. And yet somebody caught it, and luckily we live in a community where I know they catch, you know, they try to catch, there's those people out there trying to catch bad, like almost setting you up, entrapment,
right?
Especially in law enforcement. Although on the county commission side, I'm sure there's plenty of people that attend the meetings that are also trying to set them up.
Well, you know, the good thing is for Jessica and so Laura, who is the director of communications for the county, and who Jessica, you know, reports to, and you know, has a great leader himself, and Jessica coming in as her field. Jessica, they have a role for all of the, you know, public works and those other departments within the county. So you're talking about CCFR, and I don't want to, you know, give it away, but Jessica can actually tell you they actually have a lot more to manage and put information out about on the county side.
So many departments.
That's true.
Right.
Exactly.
It goes beyond the commission. You know, when you think of public works, animal services, CCFR, veteran services, parks and rec, public libraries, that all falls under our purview.
So, okay, that's a great example. So, like, one of the public libraries is doing a STEM thing for kids. Does that go through you, or does that...
So, anything that is published on, you know, paper or online goes through our office.
Wow.
Anything that's written that
and
has our seal.
How many people does it take to run that? And I'm expecting it's probably not as big as it should be, but bigger than people expect.
Right, exactly. We are a handful of individuals growing. I think my position, you know, was definitely necessary to support everyone's role. And I can see our department growing even more down the line. But when you think of how many departments we juggle, it's a pretty small team, but we're powerful. And we have a lot of background. We have a lot of years of experience combined. Like I mentioned, you know, I have 10 years of experience as a reporter. My director of communications has, you know, just as much. And so when you combine all of those years of experience, all those skills, just everyone brings something unique to the table.
Well, and for our listeners to kind of put this in perspective, you have to think of the size budget of Clay County, which I believe like $734 million. I'm guessing, I'm actually just pulling that number out there, but I'm thinking of what St. John's County is.
Right.
And so I'm trying to get a number, which given our size is about the same. So don't quote me on that. Look it up yourself.
Yes, look it up.
I did not look that up.
Don't hold us to the numbers.
But
right?
it's high for, I mean, it's, again, it's not as high as probably we could be in
right.
here, but that's a tremendous budget and a tremendous amount of information and work that needs to be given. Relayed to the people that live here.
You know, in the storytelling or PIO role, there is a lot behind the scenes, because you have the social media platforms. And so we talking about Facebook, X, which is now, well, old, used to be Twitter. Talking about
pet
Instagram,
peeve of mine.
Right?
Because nobody calls it X. It's X, formerly Twitter.
Right, formerly Twitter.
But I mean, you have to, because nobody, he's like, what's X?
Right. So threads for mm-hmm. Facebook,
right.
Meta.
So
you're talking about YouTube channels. There are so many social media platforms. And so how do you monitor all of those? Because one person really can't do it alone, especially when you have a large county. Mm-hmm. It actually takes a team of individuals, you know, and each individual may be in that role, but they all have a different skill set. But mm-hmm. you cross train and you learn to work together to accomplish the one goal, which is make sure, you know, that you are able to fulfill the job, especially of the organization that you're with, you know, being able to tell the story, get the message mm-hmm. out. Because old police commissioner, you know, Charles Ramsey of Philadelphia Police said, hey, it's better we tell the story and give it to the news media than them tell our story and it's inaccurate. And the reality is, if once an inaccurate information gets out there, you're already behind the battle, because at this point now you're trying to combat the inaccurate information, and that information is already spread 10 times faster mm-hmm. than what you're already trying to, you know, you're trying to play catch up, and it's hard to do. So you really do need a team to help you monitor social media, the content, the stuff you're putting out. Crisis comes in. Who's handling that? The messaging. There's a lot behind the scenes. And for large agencies, one PIO really can't do it alone. You really do need a team.
Well, and that's a very smart advice. And it explains it eloquently, because the reality is, well, one, as one reporter told me, they're writing sometimes several articles a day. The more information you give them, the easier their job is. And everybody likes their job to be easier.
Yes.
But two, they might not understand. They want to be helpful. Like, you know, you're going to be telling them about some great thing and they could just completely miss the mark because they're not here. They don't know it. So that when you can steer the story and, hey, this is what we think's important. And then mm-hmm. they can go, okay, this is what you think's important. Here's what I, as a journalist, think's important, and kind of weave a different story. But at least it touches on where you want it to go.
I completely agree. Just from being a reporter, yes, we were juggling multiple stories every single day, multiple topics, multiple cities, multiple counties. And Northeast Florida is a huge, you know, region that we would cover. So as you mentioned, you know, yes, we could use a little help as a reporter when, you know, when I was that, we welcomed that help. And it really made sure that we weren't missing the mark, like you said. And that's really what we want to do as PIOs, is to put those stories out there, put the spotlight on our employees that are doing great things, but then also, you know, in a moment of crisis, make sure that we are putting out accurate information and that reporters and the media can trust us and build that relationship where they know that we're doing our best to vet this information that we're sending out. So it works both ways, but, you know, the more information we can put out there that we know is correct, the better.
That's amazing. I was able to work with one of the premier social media teams for Twitter back when it was Twitter, before Elon bought it. And this is back in the heyday when a lot of stuff was going down. So a lot more was going down there, but it fascinated me. And this is why I'm telling you this backstory, because I have some questions about this. The amount of, when you're working with a professional firm, the amount of gaming of the algorithm they do to try to get engagement.
Yes.
And it's sometimes really weird that people don't realize what you don't post, what you post, why you do it, when you do it.
Or what platforms you use.
Yes. Yeah. Is that, I know that's part of yours, but because how much do y'all have to do that in this day and age?
You have to. The reality is the algorithm, we can't wait for an algorithm to catch up to somebody, especially when we're putting critical information out, right? So Twitter was kind of your instantaneous blog, where mm-hmm. when you put that out, people could see it right away, especially if you tagged the news media or you were tagging groups. So Twitter for us was, you know, our instantaneous blog for us to, when we need critical information out, this is what we want the community to see, because they'll be able to see it right away. We don't have to worry about an algorithm so much. Where Facebook, you got to hope somebody scrolls and sees the post and so forth. And now we have so many. Or we have another platform for the sheriff's office, at least SaferWatch, where we're allowed to, we can push information out to the community, especially during critical incidents or, you know, an alert or some form of information that we really want to get put out to the community right away. So those two are pretty much for us, the sheriff's mm-hmm. office, our main go-tos when we're talking about critical real-time information right away. We'll still post it to the other platforms, you know, at some point, but instantaneously when we need to get the information out, Twitter, safer watch for us, but also talking, you know, getting out to news media and, mm-hmm. and making sure that they have it. And usually when we hit Twitter, it gets to them right away as well, so they can help share that information quickly. And Jessica could probably speak to that as
and
well.
And y'all use Safer Watch too. Isn't that one of the Clay County's?
Yes, I believe we have an account on there as well.
I believe, yeah. Well, so the sheriff, I know the sheriff's office, the county uses what we call alert. What is
alert.claycounty.gov.
Yes, there we go. Okay. Thank
you. Claycountygov.com.
So yes. They use that platform. For us, we use Safer Watch for the sheriff's office. The school district has it as well.
But
so.
Now, as somebody who watches this, you know, because I live in the world of Clay County politics, where I have to watch all this stuff to see what's going on in the community. I want to make sure I'm abreast of anything that's happening in these areas. I appreciate as a citizen, though, the amount of cross communication. Like I will sometimes know events or things that's going on the city, county level, because it'll be shared by the sheriff's office and mm-hmm. vice versa. You're right. Always seeing this intercommunication. Is that, do y'all, it seems like a lot, but y'all actually, is it just one of those things you just do naturally, or do you kind of like give a heads up, like, hey, you know, do you want us to share this? How does that work?
I think both.
We have a saying, or at least something we live by: one voice, one message. Mm-hmm. Who owns the incident, or, you know, whatever's happening? So if it's natural disasters, you know, hurricanes mm-hmm. or so forth, the county is the lead. So for us, they're handle the lead. We'll share whatever information that they're going to put out, because reality is we don't want to put our own information out and draw confusion to the community as far, okay, for what should we be doing? So one voice, one message. If it's a safety issue, law enforcement related, then I'm the lead. The sheriff's office is the lead, and the county will assist us. And that's the importance of work, that cross communication, working together, because at the end of the day, if a crisis or a critical incident actually hit, we need every PIO in the county, you know, to help mm-hmm. assist. And, you know, having those relationships working together is flawlessly for us to come in and say, OK, what you need from me? And that's a part of that, you know, people don't realize there's training that comes with being a public information officer or a communication specialist, whatever, a public affairs person, whatever title your organization may want to call it. FEMA has a great courses where they teach you the importance of the PIO from basic PIO all the way up to advanced, all the way up to master PIO. Where, you know, and then FBI LEADA has courses as well. There are so many organizations that actually have some courses, classes you can take standing up in front of news cameras, you know, giving messages, you know, to incidents, you know, to help train that persons or those persons who are actually in that role.
Oh, that's great. And y'all just got back from a conference, which we will talk about, but I want to let you know we are getting there. I do find that fascinating. And speaking of like hurricanes, what I find interesting again is people probably think the sheriff's office is the lead on that, but they're not. And that's, there's so many times I hear that. I've heard people unfairly be like, well, you know, the sheriff's office messed that up. And I'm like, they're not the lead. and vice versa. I'm not saying it doesn't go both ways.
Right.
But you know, because people, you never hear the good stuff. Everybody likes to complain. But when something goes wrong, like a hurricane, I know from watching, you know, Facebook feedback of views that most people tune into the sheriff's broadcast first about an event like that, when that might not necessarily be the most, you know, like you said, there's the county and in that scenario, like a hurricane's coming towards Clay, who would be our first point of contact for that?
So definitely emergency management. We have an acting director of emergency management. So he would take the lead on, you know, putting that first message out there that everyone will kind of fall in line with. But, you know, obviously we're in communication with all of our county partners to determine kind of what the next steps are. So it's a big operation. And because I was at that conference, I missed this most recent activation, but I have been briefed on it. So, you know, I think that I've learned a lot just from my time here so far. And people don't realize just how much planning goes into it, like hours and hours. I mean, after hours, and not even on an activation itself, like even a road closure. There are so many calls, so many meetings. So even though people may not see, the work that's being done, people are always in communication. And that's sort of our job to highlight that as well.
Well, and you know what? People love to hear what's going on, and that's just a natural human thing. And when you do, you feel better. Like I'm always impressed when you hear a siren, and next thing you know, you're like, or you see a road's closed because something's going on, and then you're posting. You're like, well, yeah, they had that handled. You know,
yeah,
good job. I feel like I'm part of the team, but that's the way we are. It's we want to know. We're naturally gossip mongers. I hate to say it, but that's really what it comes down to. Because at the end of the day, if it's a road that you're not going by that day and don't see, you probably would have never known about it if it wasn't put out there. But but when you do drive by and you're affected, you're going, well, why was I in an hour long traffic jam? And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, okay, wow. Oh, that was horrible. I'm glad they took care of that. So, you know, it serves a vital thing.
It does. And listen, that's the part of the pre-planning that Jessica just really stated, is that a lot behind the scenes go into planning and getting, because if you know something is going to happen prior to a road closure or whatever the case, getting that message out to the community, you know, over the course of time, you know, so they can prepare for it. So say, hey, you know, we got to shut this road down in 2 weeks or 3 weeks because we have a construction project coming up. Well, you know, the time to start messaging to the community is now. So when it does happen, you know, at least majority of your community can say, hey, they did tell us this road was going to be shut down, as opposed to an immediate closure that was kind of out of, you know, an emergency situation. So you're going to get that out, you know, use your platforms to get that out right away.
Yeah, that makes sense. And one of the problems with platforms that I found, I'm sure y'all will elaborate more, is it's very frustrating because people's, like, say you want to tag like News Jax or whatever. Well, their handle might not be the same on Facebook, Twitter, Truth, so whatever so it's not just like you can write one boilerplate thing.
Yeah.
It just, you have to write it. That's why a lot of people aren't on multiple platforms, because it's just, frankly, it gets a little overwhelming. I mean, but the good thing is when you have people paid to do it, you're a little bit more inclined to take
the time. You have to tailor your message to the platform.
Right.
And sometimes the people who you know, the demographics that uses those certain platforms. Each platform has an age range or a group of people that you're trying to target. So how do you get that message? And the reality is sometimes concise and short is better than long and okay. This is kind of a academic read. You know, you're going to lose people on the academic read on social media.
Exactly. And that's not just for users. It's for media partners as well. You know, as reporters, as we stated before, they're juggling multiple stories a day, multiple cities, you know, so many things on their plate that if they see a good story, they need to know exactly what it is, where it is, why it matters, and be able to pitch that to their newsroom. And if they don't have a full grasp of that, then they're just not going to even go there. But I definitely think that tailoring the message is important, and then, you know, just having that presence just in general. You might not have to tag News for Jax or any outlet, because they're watching your social media channels, and there are things that we didn't even expect them to broadcast, and they loved it. Like, I mean, pickleball took off like a wildfire. And you know, we had reporters from Gainesville coming to Clay County to cover that, and so there are things that we couldn't have even seen coming, but because we were proactive with our messaging and just put it out there, people were right on top of it and spreading it as well, so sharing it everywhere.
Now, you're coming from your side of your background with reporting. This is why I'm asking this question, because I'm curious, and
recovering.
I don't know if it's...
And we use recovering report.
Right. There's a myth that may or may not be true, that some journalists get mad if they're not told first, and therefore they're not necessarily going to cover it because, well, you should have told me first, you know, the scoop. It seems like in this day and age, because of social media, that the people are kind of getting over it more. But I mean, I know it had to. It was a big deal when you were literally trying to sell the morning headlines. But is it gotten better? Is it real still? Is it? I'm putting you on the spot. All your former colleagues are going to hate you now.
I mean, personally, you know, as long as we have the information, and this is something that we learned about at the conference as well, is being sure to put that message out to everyone at once with the same verbiage so everyone has access, same time, no preferences. Now, of course, there are journalists who have been here a very long time. And, you know, throughout their many decades of experience and of working here, they've built sources and contacts. So they will, of course, have access to information that that may not be included in that official messaging. But, you know, for the most part, as a reporter, as long as I had the correct information and it was in a timely manner, it didn't really affect me too much as to whether, you know, my colleague at the station had it, you know, first. Because right. really, I mean, what we're trying to do is inform the public. Because when you think about it, the viewer who's watching that channel is probably not watching my channel and, you know, vice versa. So you just want the information out there, like, to just kind of blanket the airwaves because people just need to know what's going on. Period.
Yes, I agree. I apologize. I am hearing a dog in the background. This is not mine. So that's why I'm like, let's see if I can make this a little quieter here. If you hear that on mic, if there's some weird background noise, I was like, are my kids home? I hear screaming?
We didn't bring any dogs.
No. What's going on there? So I've just shut a door to help that noise. I apologize. Now I'm distracted, and again, I was not expecting. This is a live. I mean, we do record the show in advance, but the right. reality is, once we hit record, we just go. So we're going. Want people to
and to build off what I was saying. Now that you know we went there. so with getting information, when we were on scene with you know other reporters as well, we would all do like if you know and I talked to Deputy Ford several times on stories, and when we were on the scene, we needed to interview a PIO. We would all just do it together. I mean, we're all going to get the same information regardless. Why not just team up and not have Deputy Ford do 5 separate interviews?
Makes sense.
And you know just get the information out. So I really. When it comes to like a crisis, I don't think that there's that like no. competitiveness that people may think is right. there.
In this day and age, it's the scandal that they want to be the exclusive.
Right,
exclusive
right. One. And honestly, it's the not legitimate news outlets that people should be more wary of. Those are the people putting out information that's erroneous, that's not verified. Yeah. But as far as you know, the local news outlets, you know, we do our best
and here's really one. Thing we really do want people in the community to know, especially as Jessica, when she was a reporter with Action News Jax, and even the reporters out there. For us, Jessica at the county, me at the sheriff's office, the media is our conduit to getting information out there, right? And if we have, like Jessica said, if we have some information that's critical or things we want people to know, we want to give them the same information because all three local media stations and our beat reporters and our reporters throughout Jacksonville and Clay County, each of them will have the same exact information that we gave to the other agencies so they can help get our message that we want out to the people in the community in Clay County.
So if you are listening, they are not playing favorites. It's in your imagination. and I will say this from a viewer standpoint, I think anytime it's your job, you're not seeing what other people are seeing. Usually, and I'm assuming most people are like me, maybe not, I kind of have my show that I turn on first.
Right.
And that it doesn't matter. Like if they don't have it, then I don't know about it. But if they have it and it's something I'm interested in, then I'll actually go to the other stations and see their viewpoint on it. Mm-hmm. So I end up watching, like, if it's something interesting, it's just like same thing, like the hurricane coming through. Mm-hmm. I've got my person I listen to.
Right.
And then I went, okay, well, who else has something to say about this? And I'll have like a couple others I'll go to after that. So I have a feeling a lot of people, they have their brand loyalty and they just go to that person first. And then, but now if you're a journalist, I will say this. When you're switching to that other channel to see what you have to say, that's your chance to get a new viewer. Because I have done that where I'm like, I like what this person right. presents better.
I like what they're reporting on. Yeah. Right. And listen, I know some people out there can be skeptical of media. And from the PIO side, the communications person side, you know, of a government organization, you understand that media plays a role. They have a role. And so once you understand that they have a job too, you know, you always ask them, just be accurate, be fair, and tell the full context of right. something. But you do understand that they have a job to do as well. But we hope that they would do it correct, mm-hmm. be respectful, be truthful, be accurate. Just as when we give them information, they would hope from us that we're giving them accurate, truthful information.
Right.
And in times of me and Jessica just had a conversation in the car, you know, just talking about the NIOA conference, is that we sat there and said just this specific point is that when you're dealing with the media, the reality is that you have to have trust. You have to build that trust in the things that you do. And once you have that relationship and you built on that relationship, things, you know, it works. There's a give and a take, but you have to have trust and build those relationships with your news outlets and your organizations. And then also you got to be able to have that trust and communication with the PIOs that you work with in your own county as well.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. How many, one more question, then we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this conference. We'll talk about any topics y'all want to talk about. I want to throw out a scenario like this is what happens a day in Clay County. Like, how do y'all handle it as PIO officers? And kind of, you know, because I think to me, how things work are fascinating. So hopefully the viewers like that or listeners. Maybe one day we'll it's a pain. Yeah,
televised podcast. Yeah,
let me tell you, because people have asked if we could do that. And I'm like, if we ever do
a lot of editing,
it's going to be so raw. You're going to hate it. Cause I've not taken, I work people.
Right? I don't get paid for this.
And I work. So it takes a long enough to edit audio when we don't even have any cuts.
Absolutely.
Now, what was I going to ask you? I got
distracted there. Hey, sometimes we have those moments on this show as well.
All right, you know what? Forget it. We're just going to go to break. All right, you are listening to Never Off Duty. And we're back. Never Off Duty. Quick housekeeping is Clay Sheriff.
Clay Sheriff at
Clay. I was just giving the email. No. Clay Sheriff at Clay Sheriff.
Sheriff at ClaySheriff.com.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, I'm having lots of senior moments today. So sorry.
It happens.
And I had coffee this morning and everything. This is a good day. I don't know what happened here. What's the best county website for everybody to go for information?
ClayCountyGov.com.
ClayCountyGov.com.
She did that so easily.
I did. Yeah.
Now, I'm going on a random direction here. Why isn't ClayCountyGov.gov? Or is that just weird?
That is just the way the website was established. Okay. I got caught up in that in the beginning, too. That's why I know it by heart. ClayCountyGov.com.
Right. I mean, I guess it would be claycounty.gov if you were going to, except for there's probably a claycounty.gov somewhere else. So
I kind of wondered, did they start late and somebody else beat them to the website? I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this as PIOs, when a new social media platform, how quickly are y'all jumping on there to secure your username?
Well, so you know what? That's a good thing. You know, it's funny because I tell people there are a lot of CCSOs, as far as social media usernames.
I googled CCSO address this morning and it showed up as
Charlotte
County,
exactly.
Sheriff's Office.
So you'd be surprised. There are so many, you know, CCSOs. So for us, we had to draw that distinction. And so you'll see a lot of times CCSOFL, which identifies the Clay County Sheriff's Office, you know, the true Clay County Sheriff's Office.
And I have been guilty of tagging somebody that turns out like it is not them.
I always go to the profile first.
You know how many times we've been tagged in something that has nothing to do with us. And I'll politely tag who they're looking for and say, hey, at CCSO in Charlotte, I think this guy is looking for you guys, right? So, we have nothing to do with something in North Carolina or further south in Charlotte County, or the, you know, there's a Clay County Sheriff's Office in Texas.
Yeah, there
right,
are
exactly. Counties. So yeah, we get tagged a lot.
That makes sense. So if you want to subscribe, remember all the major platforms, Never Off Duty, you can tell your friends, please do. It's amazing how many people are listening regularly to the show, and we get new listeners all the time. So really appreciate it. You know, now you know where to go. You can tag in the subject line podcast to that email address and
Sheriff. Yep. @claysheriff.com.
Yeah. The one time you weren't here, I nailed it.
I know you did.
I just awesome. I totally, everybody's like, wow, you knew all the plugs right, without even looking it up. All right. So we, the senior moment that I had before we went to break. So thank you during the break. We talked it through. It was a 40-minute break. We figured it out. My question was, it was not. It was like 30 seconds. You're like, I think you were asking this. I was like, oh, yeah, that was it. It was how many PIOs we have in the county and different agencies. And the answer is most of we have the police departments, the sheriff, obviously, the county. Are there any other county agencies that have it? Because as I discovered, you handle firefighters too, because
right.
That's
and emergency management as well.
Right, and does the school board police have their own? Or
school board police right. have their own Terry Dennis? Mm-hmm.
And is that the one? Do they do it for the school board also, or just
they do it for the school district and, okay, and so the school board?
Okay,
Josh Lee, who's Green Cove, Cody Monroe, who's Orange Park, and I think the health department actually has their own PIO.
They
as
do,
well,
mm-hmm.
So. Which I would imagine can actually be difficult. It's great that we have so many sources of information, but the reality is something's happening, and I'm sure there's a time when you're like, oh, we forgot to call whoever. Like, you're like, oh, are they going to be mad? I didn't, you know, they should have been here at the press conference. I mean, or is it just so, are you just so professional that it's like, nah, we hit the button.
I feel like we're in such close communication in our day-to-day. I don't know. I personally haven't experienced yet where I've like missed, you know, an opportunity to let someone know about something. But
yeah, we actually have. So recently, maybe last year, we had a PIO summit. I had a PIO summit. The sheriff was there, and we had not only government PIOs from the county, but also private PIOs mm-hmm. or public affairs or communication right. specialists come in, because we always talk about, you know, the sheriff always says not if, but when.
Right. And we have the monthly meetings.
And we have the monthly PIO quarterly meetings oh, wow. and so forth where
actually,
the PIOs.
More than monthly.
I was going to make yes. a joke about that you know, they actually get together once a month.
We
and
do.
They
have more frequently right. than that.
Yeah. We actually do great. Get together
it's
because you don't, in case there are changes or if there's mm-hmm. information mm-hmm. that one of us may have, you know, when we talk about those conferences that come up, hey, right. we know about a conference coming up. So, you know, we put it out there to the other PIOs if their agencies or, you know, respective persons allow them to go. But it's building that communication, you know, so you know when something goes wrong, you know who you can call to come in, help and assist you. Because again, we talked about it, if there is truly a critical incident or situation that happens in Clay County, you know, and it's say if whether it's sheriff's office related or whether it's county related, whether it's Orange Park police related or whether it's Green Cove police related, if it truly is a crisis that could possibly garner national attention, you're going to need help. And you can't be afraid to ask for that help. And so having those relationships already so that, you know, you come in again, that one voice, one message, but everybody working together for the common goal to get the information out.
And that's not the first time that you want to meet a PIO either.
No, definitely not.
Well, we'll talk about the scenario. Like I said, we're going to go through a scenario that maybe would even have you reaching out to state level where, you know, how does that communication flow work? So because I think people will be fascinated. Like, I mean, it could be a major hurricane. I don't think Lee's going to hit us, but if it was, it was going to be a beast. And I mean, it was, you know, it looks like it's going to go north, but
thank you.
It'll be interesting to talk about that what if scenario. So I have a question, and I'm going to give you an out because I do realize that by answering this, it might cause a problem. So, and I don't want to cause a problem. So again, you can just say, let's not talk about this. And then I'll tell the audience why. How do you deal with trolls on there, because you are government agencies, and you know, how does that, and they are there, people, I don't care if you're a private citizen, people will try to troll you. They will try to get you to say things. Is it just an ignore them? Is it
a lot of times you ignore them? Listen, but there also are times when if we post a post and people's or person's comments aren't conducive to that post and they're taking away from what information or what we put out there for that particular post, then, you know, there are times when, you know, you look to see, okay, do we block this person, you know, and we block them for 6 months maybe, and then let, you know, review them after 6 months and unblock them. But there are certain things that we can do to minimize trolls. Again, we recognize everybody has, we are a government site, so everybody can post, you know, things on there. There are sometimes we have catch phrases that get blocked automatically just because we don't want, you know, foul language or racial, you know, disparaging remarks or whatever the case may be on our platform. So those get blocked automatically. But at the end of the day, for those who troll and they're constantly, you know, trolling each thing, if it's taking away from a post of what we post, especially if it's some critical information, then we'll usually either hide the comment or block that person.
Right. And I'm sure y'all seen some disgusting stuff, because I have, like, right. People post like, really? Like, come on. Like, why would you even say that? That's like, it's just disgusting. It's racist mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, whatever. It gets disgusting. I don't think people realize how bad the internet is. Like, it's worse than you think it is.
Right.
I guess, do y'all have like a similar, yeah.
Yeah. So we definitely get our fair share, especially when, you know, there is a change to, you know, the daily sort of workflow or something's going to disrupt someone's life. Yes, we do get a lot more comments than usual on those posts. But we try to sift through that and see if there is any sort of glaring piece of misinformation that we can address and sort of make sure that people know what is actually going on. Or if there are valid questions, then yes, we'll answer those. But it can get hard because it's dozens and dozens of comments. And, you know, there are other counties in Florida that simply disable their comments altogether. We have not taken that approach because we do want to, you know, see what people are saying and give them that platform to, if they want to ask a question, we want to be able to address it. There are multiple forms that people can reach us, but that is, you know, right. That's something that people take advantage of on the comments. Like, you know, they want clarification on something and we're happy to do that. But yeah, with the trolls, I mean, we don't engage if it's not conducive to, you know, any solution.
And there's really no right answer. The reality is, I mean, nobody's found the perfect solution. I went to a social media conference and for what I do, and they were like, the answer they gave us was, don't respond to any comments unless you have regular communications with that person, right. Because you're, you know, like if you're two like elected officials that always are talking, then that's one thing.
Right.
But like if you had another PIO from another department put a reply, you maybe to them, but that was the advice they were giving to the people at this conference was, if somebody wants to, if they have a question, have them send it, they can, you know, message you and then make a new post about that question.
Right.
But for me, it made a little bit more sense, because the point is, when you have 78 comments, even if you reply, it's going to get lost. So,
and that's the thing. So, and for us, the sheriff's office, when we definitely talk about trolls, we're talking about people, you know, who you do engage in a conversation, but yet it's not just the one social media post that you posted. They'll go to numerous posts and start putting links, you know, click on this link. So when we talk about trolls, those are the folks, because number one, you don't know if those links are trying to scam a person.
Right.
So that's why I say if it's not conducive to the post and it's taken away and we're seeing your link pop up on each several posts, yes, we're going to block you, because again, we want to make sure that our people, our folks who follow us, who visit our social media platforms, don't get scammed by trolls. Because believe me, there are trolls who are looking to scam people, and so they'll post where they can, when they can.
And by the way, never, public service announcement, never click on a link.
Absolutely.
If you have an Apple device and you're listening to this live, next day, update it. There's a major security thing. But I mean, I know that sounds dumb, but that illustrates this new malware that's out there. Doesn't even require, if you just touch the link, it's on your iPhone. Wow. Now they patched it, but that's the type of why don't click on links you don't know, people. And it's very hard to do. I know.
Yeah.
Because you're like, but if I click on this link, I will learn more about this controversial subject.
No, you will not. Well, you'll learn, but it won't be about what you thought.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So y'all's choice now. Do you want to talk about a scenario or do you want to talk about your conference next?
We can talk about the conference because then you can lead into the scenario.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. So tell us about the conference. Give us the acronym and don't tell us what the acronym means. I'm just kidding.
So we recently attended in Nashville, Tennessee, the NIOA conference, the National Information Officers Association. And we had over 500 PIOs, public affairs, communication specialists come from across the U.S. I think we even had one from Canada.
Mm-hmm. To downtown Nashville,
to
right?
To downtown Nashville.
Which is a fun place.
It is. It is. Well, we had a ball. Yeah. But in the conference, usually it's held in Clearwater, Florida. But, you know, because of last year, hurricane and some of the things that transpired down there, so it was moved to Nashville this year. Hopefully it'll be back in Clearwater come next year. Yeah, so
I mean, I love things in Florida.
Yes,
I'm all pro Florida, but occasionally it's fun to go. To
I love. I love Florida, but it was fun to travel a little bit.
It is, and so the NIOA is a conference of where, you know, PIOs as myself and from across the county, across the U.S. can come and actually listen and learn. Because this is not my first conference with NIOA. Jessica, I believe it was her first.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have a listen and learn, and you actually are receiving presentations from PIOs, communication specialists that may have handled some critical incidents or crises that transpired over the course of this year into last year. And we actually had the PIO or the PIO for the Idaho murders, Moscow Police Department, and fortunate those victims who were tragically killed by the suspect. And understanding that, you know, the PIO who came in to handle that particular case and that incident was not the PIO from the police department. And I'm not knocking. I don't want anybody to think I am knocking the police, the Moscow Police Department in Idaho. I'm not. They didn't have a PIO. So the importance they brought in a PIO from the state mm-hmm. forestry?
Yes.
Yeah, who came in and who was a former news reporter, recovering news reporter, who actually took over as the PIO to help address that mm-hmm. case, respond to information, you know, things that were coming in to help start getting messaging out because there was a lot of misinformation going out in reference to that case.
And something that we say every single day in my department is perception is everything.
It is.
So, yes, you may have your investigators doing the work and your detectives, and you may be, you know, following a lead. But if you have your police chief, you know, standing in front of a bunch of cameras trying to lead a press conference, which he shouldn't be put in that position. That's something that she later said is, you know, that's what was happening. He was overwhelmed. You know, the perception was things are, you know, not being handled the way that they should be. But, you know, really it takes someone who can, you know, siphon through all that and distribute the information that needs to go out. And that's why a PIO is so valuable, because otherwise there may be great information, but if it just doesn't get...
It's not being told.
It's not being told correctly and to the right people, that perception could be really skewed. And like Deputy Ford said, you know, once that misinformation gets out or that perception is there, it's so hard to combat that.
Yes, it is. And so just learning some of the do's and the don'ts, what she did, this communication, this PIO did to help rein that messaging in and then get actually because the police department were doing an excellent job in investigating the murders but they weren't getting they weren't telling the story, they weren't getting information to the community. So you have to deal with that because the media is constantly asking. And then we also the Covenant School shooting in Tennessee. the police chief of Nashville Police Department, his PIO, Director of Communications, actually told their story and their response, their unified response of PIOs that responded and who handled what. There were some lessons learned, but ultimately, you know, them doing a great job going out and taking down that threat, but also messaging communication-wise, making sure that different PIOs from the fire department and the police department work together and actually tasked out who would handle what, which the PD was the lead, but their PIO in the fire department was also handling an aspect of the communications behind the scenes, which really helped those guys out as well.
In a situation like that, because I obviously it's tragic and horrible, and I know we pray it never happens again here or anywhere. I obviously very rough on everybody involved, and I know it would be rough on y'all too, because you almost have to check you almost have to like compartmentalize and go, okay, but if before you put somebody on camera or to give a message, is it almost, or, and maybe they train you this, are you like, you're not ready to go? Like, do you?
Well, so you want to prep, and I apologize because there was a speaker, I believe at the last day of our conference who spoke and talked about, you know, prepping your folks or your boss that's going out in front of the camera. And if it's going to be a 15-minute interview, then you know what?
For every minute, prep an hour.
Prep an hour, exactly.
I remember that.
You know,
that's
so in other words, sit down with, you know, your sheriff, your elected officials, or whoever is going out to brief, and just throw every question you can out there. And the gentleman had a great quote, you know, Colin Powell, when he sat down or when he would do interviews with media, he would have sessions of 4 or 5 hours of prepping. And he said, listen, I'm going out telling stories about men and women in the military, you know, some who put their lives on the line, some who have lost their lives. So I want to expect every question so that I can answer it truthfully, honestly, but correctly.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's key, is truthfully and honestly. Just because we're prepping, it's not like gatekeeping, you know. We're not trying to create a narrative that doesn't exist, which I think, you know, there are a lot of people that are skeptical, and that's fine. But I think now that I'm on this side of it, I see just how you know, why it's important, because you don't want to leave stuff to chance. You don't want to have someone throw a conjecture out there, speculation.
Or a wacky question.
Right.
Know, and that you like, oh, I wasn't prepared. You want them prepared for everything.
Right.
Well, you know, more lighthearted, because we just talked about something serious, but I like to watch, this is a weird fascination of mine, but I like watching worldwide interviews where press is thrown out and just see how people respond to it.
Yes.
And it is, some people are, and I don't know if you can ever train that. That just might be something that just some people have got. But I mean, you see some, you know, people will have, I was watching some actor and they made a, you know, horrible comment about his wife. And I was like, man, that guy just handled that perfectly and just really shut that down. And there's another famous one where like a football coach, a soccer coach, internationally, got onto the press because he let his player not play that game because he had a kid. And it was like, you know, I'm like, wow, that's how you do that. Is that something, though, where I'm getting this is, do y'all kind of like study this stuff as, you know, like footage and like an NFL coach to prepare you? Or is that what these conferences are for, to really get you ready for the...
I would say both. I personally love TikTok, so I love going down the TikTok rabbit hole. And I can tell. I can tell when celebrities are media trained and when they are not.
Yes.
When they put their foot in their mouth and when they know what they're talking about and they're confident and they're secure and they have a message. So that to me is fascinating. And when you're in this, you'll notice it more and more when you start to see like sit-down celebrity interviews or, you know, any interview on air. But yes, the conference itself, so invaluable to me. company. I learned so much. And what was great is just that networking aspect as well. We got to meet other PIOs within our region. We're kind of like divided into our regions. So our region's actually the biggest.
One of the region biggest, four. Yes, yes.
So we have Florida, North Carolina. I think we have Tennessee.
We have Tennessee.
So yeah. Yes, we got to, our cohort was amazing. We exchanged a lot of information and ideas, and yeah, I really learned a lot.
And those are PIOs that, you know, you potentially, you know, could be deployed to help mm-hmm. assist, especially again during hurricanes or, you know, critical incidents. But we got some great PIOs up and down the state of Florida who have some really well-versed experience, and not those who are recovering news reporters or who are in journalism and also law enforcement, you know, who probably never thought they would see themselves in that PIO role. But and that's what the training helps you get your mindset, because you have to prep. And you made a point, you know, how do you prep or how do you prepare if somebody goes out, or how do you stay? You have to stay professional. You have to stay calm and cool. And in PIO realm, you know, you kind of have what we call sometimes a cap statement, you know, that care, that action and plan. And it's okay to care, you know, have an action and have a plan, you know, of, you know, something that may have happened. You know, we also have some other sayings: be brief, be brilliant, be gone, mm-hmm. you know, get your information out, you know, be brief about it. And, you know, give a sound bite that everybody can pick up and use. Or, you know, give an action, you know, telling people what you want them to do in times of crisis or hurricane or a critical incident, you know, whether it's a shelter in place or, you know, be on the lookout, whatever the case may be. Give people something to do. But all this, being the PIO of a county, an agency, a law enforcement agency, you got to have trust from your community. Mm-hmm. But in order to have that trust, you got to have a relationship via your social media, via your interactions. You have to build that trust up so that people know when you get that information out that they can trust, it's verified, it's accurate, and they know that we're telling them something that is for their own best interest right. and safety.
Well, and you also have to build the trust with the people that you work for.
Yes.
Because I've told this to people on the politics side of people who run for office and stuff like that, I think it's true for corporate side, anything, that you might like, or if you're the sheriff or elected official, you're the quarterback, and you might even own the team and be but you're still the quarterback and you're in the game. Y'all are on the sideline with a headset or up in a booth seeing everything. You might not see everything, and you got to rely on that person to say, if they're telling you, throw it to the 40 yard line, you're going to score a touchdown, just please listen to me. You got to have that trust where they say, yeah, yeah. Yes. And don't get me wrong, they have their own instincts and, yes. and you know, but that trust between your principals and of who you're putting in front of cameras mm-hmm. is an invaluable thing. But obviously they hire you, so they, you know, there's a minute.
Well, not necessarily. That doesn't imply trust right away.
That's right. That's right.
Our department has been around for 1 year, believe it or not. 1 year. So even just internally, building that trust has also been critical. So not only with our media partners, but internally with our department heads and our employees, to let them know, hey, we're here for you. We're here to tell your stories. You know, we want to highlight the good that you're doing. And that's been a process too, because it took some adjusting. Before that, you know, there was no PIO. There
that's
was
true.
No director of communications. And there was a semblance of a communications department, but not the way that it is today. So now, you know, it's amazing, because now we do get those stories, those pictures of, you know, our county employees doing the things that they should be recognized for. And it's because they trust us to disseminate that information.
And you know, it also is good from a standpoint of, as a citizen, you feel like your tax dollars are being well spent when you see the results, because you might not see it. People go, oh, like there's a road coming in that I forgot it was, I didn't even actually know it was being built, and because I don't travel that part of Clay often, right. And I'm like okay, well, that, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, like what they're doing. Look, somebody's listening right now and be like, I hate roads. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. But I'm just saying, I get why they but it's my tax dollars going to an area that I'm not going to use, but it was eloquently explained the importance of it. And having that information out there allows people to kind of be like, okay, I get why things are going on.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And I think Jessica touched on it earlier in the podcast is that with the county growing and it's going to continue to grow, there's going to be continuance of getting information out to that vast majority of people in your county. And in county grows, agency grows, that means your communication team is going to need to grow. Because the reality is people see, you know, the sheriff's office patrol operation operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And while the communication side of the sheriff's office or a county, people say, oh, the office is closed. But PIOs operate 24 hours a day,
always on call,
7 days a week. And but people don't see that behind the scenes, because mm-hmm. even when we're off, we're looking at social media. We're getting pages, you know, mm-hmm, to keep us updated on important informational calls that may have been called out or deputies responded to.
Questions on Facebook.
Questions on Facebook. Yep. Media's calling, asking questions after hours, you know, mm-hmm. even though, you know, it's 9, 10 o'clock at night. You know, you're always readily available picking up your phone. There's never a point in time where you say, "Yep, it's 5 o'clock, I'm done. Nobody will be able to talk to me until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning." That's not the case.
Wow. Well, we're going to get into that with the scenario, too, because I think people need to understand how that would play out. So is there any other highlights of this conference you want to let people know about? Because
again, just, you know, it's a great conference where, again, you can build that network relationship, mm-hmm. not only in county, but, you know, in other states. Because reality is, you know, Florida PIOs get deployed to other states who mm-hmm. need assistance, especially for those PIOs who may be affected by whatever disaster or incident occurred. And we're, at least for me, I'm always willing and ready to go, because number one, that's how you learn. That's how you expose yourself to something different, something new, and also learn, mm-hmm. You know, because you may be able to pick up little tidbits or may be responding to an incident that happened in another state that may not have happened in your county or your state, but you saw, you know, some good points, and you know, hope that it helped assist you if God forbid something like that ever happens within Clay.
And I think I was just going to say the biggest point that I wanted to drive home from the conference is, as PIOs, we're never complacent with what we know already. We're always looking to expand our knowledge, our preparedness, our ability to react to certain situations that we may not have been exposed to yet. So I think that's part of, you know, building trust with the community, with our media partners, with, you know, internally, is just knowing that we are continuously improving ourselves and improving our knowledge.
Yes.
That's great. That's great. I can't, it's hard. People don't sometimes, I hate when people are like, I'm guarantee you somebody's going, well, you know, we send them up there, that's a waste of money. Cause that's how people think. And it's not, I'm just telling you right now, anytime we can, it's training, it's networking, it's all this, yes. it's to serve our community better. And that's how you learn mm-hmm. and grow. So
That's how you get those best practices,
yes.
maybe. And real quick, so the last PIO, the last NIOA conference I went to, which was in Clearwater, and I think I touched on this before in a previous podcast that we sat down and had. And
so, you know,
here.
Go back and re-listen.
Right, go back and re-listen. We talk about, a lot of people may not be familiar with the Jussie Smollett case in reference to, mm-hmm. And in reality, Chicago Police Department and what they did, they embedded a PIO in investigations to help combat the rumors, the misinformation that was going out. Because you had a chief of investigation, when a rumor or misinformation went out and they saw it, the PIO hand in hand with the chief, hey, can this is what's going out. And having that accurate information from the chief of investigation say, hey, yes, go ahead and let's get this out now. And then having those relationships with national reporters that help, you know, get some of the things that the Chicago Police Department needed from Jussie Smollett was because of those relationships and that PIO being embedded with investigation. Boston bombing, you know, the Boston bombing, the marathon, the PIO was embedded with the chief of investigation so they can get real live time, quick tweets out to the community in reference to things that they were getting to. Those are some of the best practices and things you learn by going to those conferences and them mm-hmm. telling you about, you know, the things they learned, things they did, what helped them in that time of crisis. So again, for people who may not, who may think, oh, it's just a waste of money, it's not. You're actually really going to learn some best practices from people who are already handled the situations and mm-hmm. were in those crises.
Well, and that same person probably is like, well, my football team needs to practice more over the summer. Yeah, that's what it's practice, everybody. That's they're practicing for game day.
That's right. Well, again, there is a saying, when the time to prepare is upon us, then the time to plan is already past.
Yes.
So,
yes. So real quick
on
the Chicago incident, would that, now something, I don't want to go do that as our scenario, because yes. I don't want to potentially talk about some of the flaws and pros right. and all that happened there. But given that publicity that everybody knew that this was going to be nationwide coverage,
right.
Is this, if this something like that happened in Clay County, would that immediately be like, we have all the PIOs are working together because this is going to blow up? Or is that just like, no, this is a sheriff issue?
It depends, you know, because, you know, in the PIO realm with so much information, you can be overwhelmed. And again, it depends, right? Do you have people in your organization who can assist you with monitoring social media messaging coming in, who can help monitor or get information to you, who can, you know, each individual platforms. If you don't have people who are well-versed in, know how to operate or look for information on Twitter, Facebook, Thread, all the platforms you can think of, you know, so if they don't have that training or that skill set or that knowledge, then they really won't be any help to you. So then you will have to call on a PIO from maybe outside of law enforcement and say, hey, I need help. Do you mind coming? And you say, okay, what's my role? Again, each person may have a different skill set, but cross-trained, and but you already know how to operate the platforms that because you're doing it yourself in your own backyard.
I could just, I mean, I, thinking of it when you brought it up, I'm going, you know, that given the political complexities of what's going on, oh man, just from a managing standpoint, because yes. that would have been a nightmare. We're not going to talk about that though, because right, hopefully right. that never happens in Clay County.
Absolutely.
But
those were just instances yes, when we talked
yes.
about,
but it's know, good that,
training.
Yes. Yep. That's, mm-hmm. that's why you have to do it. Cause it could, and you've now, you know, so you learn from other people.
Yes.
But here's a scenario that could happen to Clay County. And this is the scenario that we'll talk about and then we'll wrap up. I was trying to think of something more caught off guard. So let's just say, you know, there's a weather system. It's not a hurricane. So weather system's coming up, normal thunderstorms, whatever. You go to sleep and suddenly you get the call like, this is going to turn into a tornado system and it's headed right towards us. And we're going to get a tornado. We know. I mean, because there's a important level where it might not hit anything, but they're pretty sure they're going to be in it. And when it is, it's going to be bad. Right. Who gets called first? How does that work out? Or is it like you simultaneously have probably gotten called by somebody else? And, you know, because I think that would be an all hand. Like if it's going to be a major tornado, who even right. monitors that? Like it's, you know, a thunderstorm coming in the middle of the night that develops into a tornado.
Emergency management never sleeps.
Okay.
They're always getting constant updates from national weather centers, local meteorologists. And even if it's nothing, even if they think it might not be anything, we're constant, like our emergency management department is great at letting us know, hey, they're tracking the system, no expected impact as of yet, we'll update if that changes. So constant communication, at least
that's good to know. I didn't really know that, you know, that's very, very fascinating that we should, and I'm glad we right. do, but I didn't know. So I feel better about that.
Yeah, Jessica, right. So Jessica, Laura, their team, they'll be the lead getting that information out. The sheriff's office, and which we hope we have, for us, we have the largest following as far as our social media platform when it comes to Facebook. And so we understand that their messaging is critical. So again, they'll be the lead and they'll contact us, whether it's say, hey, we're getting ready to release this information on our social media. Okay. Soon as you release it, we'll share it from mm-hmm. your social media account. We won't do a copy and paste and say, hey, do this. We'll share their page, their information they just shared, in hopes that when people see it on our page, if they didn't see it on theirs first, mm-hmm. they see it on our page.
They'll go there.
That they'll actually go to their page and then start following them. because we it doesn't help us if they're putting information out and they don't have as many followers, and then we're not sharing it, because then we're really not communicating to the masses of the folks we're trying to get this information, this critical information to. So we will always share this stuff.
So it's 3 a.m. and they're like, it's coming in 20 minutes. Obviously, you don't get called first because there's immediate, but maybe you do because there's people that got to get take shelter and take cover. I mean, how does that work? I think
so for messaging wise, either they already would have messaging because they would already know, or at least, you know,
they practice the scenario.
So they may have some brief messaging. Mm-hmm. Or we understand, well, we'll have a quick conversation, you know, all of us, whether it's on a Teams meeting, a Zoom, or on a phone call. Hey, what's the information? Because we want to make sure we're putting out mm-hmm. the same message. Mm-hmm. No, not one word different from the other person. So
what you're saying is they have your ring through silent number.
Right. So in reality, we may say, all right, hey, they're, you know, we may be working on messaging together, or, you know, and then say, hey, does everybody approve? You know, I mean, they're the lead. Hey, this is the messaging, whether it's a tornado upon us right now, because mm-hmm. we know people, hey, shelter in place, right. You know, we don't have basements in Florida.
Right.
So, but, you know, whether you get into your bathroom, your bathtub, pull a mattress.
Right.
You know,
I've heard whatever, stairwells.
Yeah, whatever information that they're going to lead with and we all agree with, that's the information we're going to put out. So
They're
the lead.
And we'll share on everything that we can think of. And that includes sending out messaging to our media partners, because if they're on air, they can alert their viewers. We now have push alerts through Ring, through Neighbors. Yes. So,
which is very helpful, because I get those. And I'm always like, that's when it's on. I know that's weird, but when it comes up on Ring, I don't get many. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get tons of Ring notifications, but not many emergency ones.
Right, and those make you kind of stop and pause a little bit. And we can target, you know, geographical areas, which is incredibly helpful. So yes, we'll do, you know, what we can to reach, you know, everyone that we can.
Who pushes out the emergency number? Is that is that somebody else, or is that y'all? Does it go through y'all first when they're like, we need to hit? This needs to be an emergency broadcast on your phone when it, you know, the ring through siren noise.
Oh, you're talking, so through Safer Watch.
No, I'm talking about
we are messaging.
It's the one where you can't turn it, like your phone goes off.
Like that fake one that we got.
Yes, yeah, the one that everybody alerted
to.
That was at the state.
Okay. Is that something you can say? We've got a tornado coming, alert this?
If we can get that information to the state and get them to get that information out right away, yes.
Although it's a pet peeve of mine that I think they've messed, I think there is on your iPhone, at least, I'm sure it's on all phones, where you can be told of tornadoes.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it also alerts you to like a lot lesser stuff. It's like, no, I don't want that. Tell me if I'm going to die. because I turned it off because I was getting too many emergency alerts for stuff that I knew was not.
Right.
And the biggest thing we tell people is we have a system, alert.claycountygov.com. There you can subscribe specifically for weather alerts.
Okay.
And so that's something that everyone living in Clay County should do if you're listening right now. Like, don't wait for the storm or don't wait for any weather system.
I get an email, I get a phone call, and I get a text message.
And we're very good about sending stuff that's relevant, that's timely, important, that's, you know, you have to act upon. So that's messaging that you don't want to miss out on.
Yes, yes.
And then, so last question, what's your longest day? What scenario mean, that you've gone through since you've been working there is like, oh man, I have been working nonstop. I'm assuming it's a hurricane, but what is it? That type of scenario? What? I know. Let me just throw that on you.
I get senior moments. So, because sometimes I can't remember what I did yesterday. Right. I just think any day can be your longest day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can turn into
the longest day, and it may not be anything that is, you know, information that is pushed out, you know, or critical, because it can be stuff that's just happening internally, or, you know, just regular everyday stuff. And it can turn into a long day because you're working, coordinating with the sheriff and her team, whether you're trying to get release of information. Well, then you're reaching out to the chief of investigations, making sure, in dealing with that, you putting the right information out, or if it's a, you know, I think one of them was really, we had a child who was abducted by biological father. And it happened around 4:30-ish, 5 o'clock, and we end up wrapping up about 10, 11 o'clock at night once we got, you know, we were able to locate that young child. But any day can be a longest day. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's a critical incident or something happening, you know. But Jessica, it could be different for you guys.
So I would, you know, I haven't been here for an activation yet, but those are definitely some long days. And, you know, for me, it's hard to gauge because at the same time when I go home, I'm still sort of like,
Never off duty.
Never right, off so duty.
So for me to say, you know, yeah, 9 to 5, and then this day was 9 to 6. No, it's always a little different because I could get a call from a media outlet at like 7. Hey, we heard there's a fire. Can you please tell us what's going on? And then I'll get to work on that before even coming in physically to work.
Yes.
And the same applies, you know, once I leave. But definitely anytime that there's a weather event, and I can relate to that just being on the report. Reporter side, anytime there's a weather event, there's expected flooding or any type of storm surge, that's gonna turn into a long day. I've gotten a lot of calls, even just rainstorms that cause some flooding. They send reporters out there and they want to know, hey, where's the flooding, or what should we tell people, what's our message, you know. So,
and some reporters want you know, want your insight, even though it may not be anything that's affecting your county. Right. Well, hey, this over here in this county or this state is having, have you guys seen anything? No, we haven't. No. You know, they want insight,
yes.
You know, and sometimes, you know, and sometimes you're hesitant to, you know, talk about something or
that's
give them insight that's not in your purview.
Right. Absolutely. Because then that PIO can feel like, hey, why didn't they call me? Or,
right,
you know,
right. And, right. And there are reporters who will PIO shop.
Oh,
yeah. We'd be like, all right, I called them. All right, let me call the other one, see if they'll give me any information, right? So, and so what we tell them is that don't, you know, don't PIO shop. So if someone calls me and it's fire related, you know, and I say, hey, that's the county, it's fire related. And yeah. And I'll try and give them a heads up and let them know, hey, so-and-so called.
You're going to get called, quick.
Yes, yes.
Don't answer, no.
And they do the same for us. Yeah,
yeah, and we and I get it. I mean, every county's so different, and every county operates differently. Some counties have multiple PIOs. Others are like us. So, yes, it takes a little bit for reporters to get the hang of it and for media outlets, and especially if reporters are new to the area. But once we've got it established, then, yes, we expect them to know who to call for fire.
Exactly.
Who to call for, you know, anything law enforcement related.
Well, that's great. Before we close out, one last thing, which is I think we should re-go through all the places that people can get information from you, the best places, because that's, like you said, stop right now and go to alert.
Alert.claycountygov.com. That is a website that's specifically designed for you to subscribe to alerts on your phone that are weather related. And it's a really, it's a great tool to have. Also, if you want to browse the resources we have on there, we have how to create a hurricane kit, where our shelters are, our flood and evacuation zones. Those are things that you need to be familiar with ahead of any sort of weather event.
Okay.
And for the sheriff's office, any critical information we want to get out right away immediately to our community, definitely is going to be SaferWatch. So
right.
We encourage everyone to download the SaferWatch app. Now, that's how we push real-time critical information that you need to know immediately out to the community. And also Twitter. That's how we're going to push information out as well that immediate information.
I've had this conversation with my dad because he doesn't want to get on Twitter. And I'm like, it's just timely. I mean, it's... if I want to know, like I said, I hear a siren, like 7 police sirens, usually it's on Twitter. If it's not you, it's somebody else.
So
you can kind of find it out. It is good for real time. And it has been across the world. I mean, there's been scenarios where there's like coups happening and people are reporting real time. Might not be the best information, but it's information. And please remember that. Unless it's from an official source, might not be real.
Absolutely.
And don't believe the check mark nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Because you can pay for it.
Exactly.
So don't believe the check mark.
That is true. Well, really, thank y'all for your time. Thank you for what y'all do for our community. I think it's a job that, like I said, a lot of people don't understand. They don't appreciate. But quite honestly, you wouldn't be getting information if it wasn't for y'all. And information is one of the most valuable things you can have. So
thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for what y'all do. You are listening to Never Off Duty.